Romans chapter 11, verse 36. The New King James translation reads, "For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever." It is the last Lord's Day of 2025. And so it is a time to reflect on the past year, to think about our collective lives together and the work that we have shared in. It's time to pause in this present moment and to be present and to think about where we are in our lives. And it is also a time in which we look forward to the future as the Lord wills. And so Romans 11 verse 36 this morning is going to serve to bring our theme of abide in my word to its completion this morning. But it's also going to serve as a standalone from all of that to encourage us to always consider the truth that the word of God is about God himself. And so Romans 11 verse 36 is a verse that, as we have been reading God's word together this year, we've been encouraging one another to consider that every verse has an immediate context. So Romans 11 verse 36 finds itself in a doxology, a hymn of praise that begins in verse 33. But it also finds itself in the context of Romans 9 through 11, in which the argument is made that God has a program. And that if you choose to get with God's program, that you can be saved by God himself. Romans 9 through 11 finds itself in the context of the book of Romans, which is about God himself. It is about the gospel of God, in which the good news of the gospel reveals the righteousness of God and the call to know him and to live by faith. The book of Romans finds itself in the context of the new covenant, and the new covenant finds itself in the context of God's eternal purpose. And so as we think about what all of that is about, it is about God himself. And so the Bible begins in Genesis 1 verse 1 with God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And I think it's important for us to understand as we all individually pursue God, that the Bible begins with God, but it ends with grace. And so Revelation 22 verse 21, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And so it is because of the grace of God that he has revealed himself to us. It is by his grace that he has revealed his eternal purpose, wherein we can understand, as we read, the answer to the most important question that anybody will ever consider in their lives. What must I do to be saved? It is by his grace that he has made it possible for us to be saved. We can be saved by grace through faith. And so as we have read God's word together this year, we have done so against the backdrop of the words of Jesus in John the 8th chapter, verses 31 and 32. And the Gospel of John serves us so well in so many ways. But in the Gospel of John, what we have is the Word who becomes flesh and dwells among us. What we have is God the Word. We have God the Son, who explains to us through his person and through his work and through his teaching who God is. And so it is Jesus that fleshes out God the Father. It is Jesus that reveals himself. It is Jesus that fleshes out God the Holy Spirit. And so as we have read God's Word together, we have encouraged one another to consider these words of Jesus. If you abide in my Word, my Word. There is one Word that matters, and it is His. Amen. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And He has spoken. And if we abide in His Word, then we will be His disciples indeed, in truth. There are a lot of people from the beginning of Jesus' ministry that have claimed to be His disciples. And just because you claim to be His disciple, that doesn't make you one of His disciples. And that goes for me as well. That goes for all of us. And so we need to take Jesus at His word that there is a condition to being His disciple. And the condition of John 8, verse 31 is that we would abide in His Word. And by definition, that's what a disciple does. A disciple disciplines himself to be like his master, to be like his teacher. And so if I am to be a disciple of Jesus Christ in truth, then I must abide in His Word. And as I know Him and continue to come to know Him, as I abide in Him and in His Word, as I continue to abide in Him and His Word, then I will know the truth. And the truth, Jesus says in verse 32, it will make me free. And so as we consider all of the lessons that we have shared in 2025, as we have read Genesis through Revelation, as we continue reading this week, and we come together on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock to sing and pray together and to consider the book of Revelation as our brother Bill leads us one last time this year on New Year's Eve. What a great way to spend the last day of the year as we anticipate a new year as the Lord wills. I would invite you to come back on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock and let's share in the new year together. Romans 11:36 is going to serve us this morning to put all of this into perspective. So as we think about the past, we consider the present and we look forward to the future. What is the Word of God about? It is about God Himself. And so, of course, the book of Romans was written by the Apostle Paul as he was carried along by the Holy Spirit. And the language that he wrote the book of Romans in is the Greek language, the Koine Greek of the first century. And in this Greek verse, there are three prepositions. And so as we consider the three prepositions of Romans 11, verse 36 this morning, number one, the first one is this word that is translated in our English, out of or from, and what that's communicating about God, for of Him, is that He is the Creator. He is the source of all things. And that is how the Bible begins, Genesis 1 and 2. That is how the Gospel of John begins. Here's the truth about Jesus. Jesus is God. He is the maker of all things. We're introduced to the Holy Spirit before we're introduced to the Father and the Son in Genesis 1, 2. The Spirit of God was hovering over. And so as we think about God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, we need to think about Creator. We need to think about Source. And as we think about this preposition and the lesson that we are learning about God in Romans 11, verse 36, for of Him, as we think about that in the context of abide in my word, and as we have read God's word together, I can't help but think about 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. And so we have this preposition that's communicating that God is the Creator, He is the source, and that is out of, that it is from Him. That is also true of His word. And so in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, what we have is a Greek word that the Spirit uses to communicate that the Word of God that is defined as Scripture, as writings, holy writings, these Scriptures are not out of, they are not from the mind of man. They are not out of or from the mind of an intelligent woman. They are from the mind of God. The literal translation of the word that is translated inspiration This Greek word literally means God breathed. And so from the beginning, God breathed into existence all things. The Spirit of life gives life. Jesus is the life. God Himself is the author of the book that we have read together this year. He's the creator of it. He is the source of it. He Himself has breathed it into existence. And so we come to the book of Revelation, and we come to the end of the book in chapter 22. And as we think about the truth that the Bible, the Word of God, it's about God. The point of it is simply this: I am, and I want you to know me. And so when you read, you can understand me. And by understanding me, you can understand yourself. Because I am your creator. I am the source of you. If it were not for me, then you wouldn't be. I've created you in my image. And I want you to know me. I want us to have a relationship. And so as we come to Revelation chapter 22 and we read verses 18 and 19 against the backdrop of the truth about who God is and against the backdrop of what we've done together by reading God's Word, why would we even entertain doing what we're warned about doing if we truly know God? I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. How dare we even entertain the idea of adding to or taking away from something that finds its origin in God Himself? This is and will always be the most precious possession that any one of us will ever have. Don't let your familiarity with God's Word rob you of the glory of it. God loves you, and He wants you to know Him. And you can know Him by reading His Word and seeing that not only did He create you, but He sustains you. And that's the second preposition of Romans 11, verse 36. Romans 11, 36, this doxology, this hymn of praise communicating truths to us that transcend the context of Him and through Him. In Acts, the 17th chapter, the Apostle Paul had the opportunity to speak to some people about the true and living God. In Paul's day and in our day, there are many so-called gods, lowercase g, plural. But the truth is, there is only one true and living God that has created all things, that is the source of all things. But that's not all. He didn't just create all things, but He also sustains all things. And so in Acts chapter 17, beginning in verse 24, God who made the world and everything in it, since He is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is He worshipped with men's hands as though He needed anything, since He gives to all life, breath, and all things. He has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth. And it'd be a nice point at this point, just to kind of pause here in verse 26 and to say that's what we're going to do next year. This year we read all of God's Word together, but next year we're going to focus on this all nations bit that's under discussion in Acts chapter 17, verse 26. that the true and living God has created everyone in His image. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. And the call of Jesus Christ is to go into all the nations and tell everybody, no matter what they look like or how they sound or how they dress or what they eat, that everybody has the same problem and the same solution is available to everyone, and His name is Jesus. And so next year, Lord willing, we will focus on the book of Luke and the book of Acts, and we will slow down and take all of the year to read through those two books together. He's made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and He has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for Him and find Him, though He is not far from each one of us. And here's the truth about through of Romans 11, verse 36, this preposition that we find in this doxology, this hymn of praise. In Him we live and move and have our very being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also His offspring. We've learned a lot of great lessons this year together as we have read about God and His people and His relationship with His people, and we've learned a lot of great lessons about how God deals with people who are not His people. And so as we think about God being the sustainer and the means of our lives, I want to turn your attention to Daniel chapter 5. And in Daniel chapter 5, we have a story that is somewhat familiar even to the world in which we live, because there's this writing on the wall. And so the context of the writing on the wall is this Babylonian king, Belshazzar, he's thrown a feast. And the true and living God, He is with Daniel. Daniel belongs to Him, and He belongs to Daniel. They are in covenant relationship with one another. And for such a time as this, God is using Daniel to reveal wonderful truths throughout his life. And so Daniel begins to speak in chapter 17, in verse 17 of Daniel 5. And he addresses the king, and he talks about the Most High God, who is a description in the book of Daniel for the true and living God. And he talks about Nebuchadnezzar and God's relationship with Nebuchadnezzar, and how Nebuchadnezzar was very prideful, and God humbled him. And he's making the point to Belshazzar in verse 22 that you didn't learn the lesson that you should have learned from this. And that's what Romans 15 verse 4 tells us about the Scriptures. The Scriptures were written for our admonition and our learning, that we would read and that we would learn and that we would make application. And so what Belshazzar should have learned from Nebuchadnezzar's experience with God is that if you want to exalt yourself and play God, then God is able to humble you. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. He is able to send us out into the field to eat grass. He is able and capable, and at times willing, to do that to get our attention so that we might learn. But Belshazzar didn't learn. And so verse 22, Belshazzar, you have not humbled your heart, although you knew all this. And you have lifted yourself up against the Lord of heaven. They have brought the vessels of His house before you, and you and your lords, your wives and your concubines have drunk wine from them, and you have praise the gods of silver and gold, bronze and iron, wood and stone, which do not see, which do not hear, which do not know, and the God who holds your breath in His hand and owns all your ways, you have not glorified, weighed in the balances and found wanting. That is what we want to avoid. That is the point of the God-breathed Holy Scriptures, so that we wouldn't, just like Belshazzar, know, but that we would take what God has revealed and we would internalize it. We would hide it in our heart. We would learn the intended lessons, and that when we read about somebody like Nebuchadnezzar and when we read their mistakes, that we might learn from that and do better than that. And so let's learn better than that and let's do better than that. God didn't just create all things like a clock and wind the clock up and He's just waiting for the clock to run out. No. He is the great I Am. He is the God of the present tense, and we live and we move and we have our very being in Him right now. Pause in the present. Be still, Psalm 46 verse 10, and know that I am. I am. No beginning, no end, from everlasting to everlasting, the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, Isaiah 57 verse 15, whose name is holy. Let us know Him as our Creator. Let us know Him as our Sustainer. And finally, the third preposition of Romans 11:36, let us know Him as He is in truth, the heir of all things. The heir of all things. Romans 11 verse 36 serves us in so many ways, but I would encourage you just to think about, you can take these three prepositions of Him, through Him, and to Him, and you can spend the rest of your life reading God's Word against the backdrop of them. All of God's Word is intended to communicate to you that you have a Creator. He is your source. He is your author. He sustains you. He is the means that has led you to this moment in your life. You are here this morning because of Him. And so here's how all this is going to end. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we have detailed information about how all of this is going to end. And the reality is, it is going to end. The Creator who sustains all things by the word of His power has communicated to us that there is an end, and the end is coming, and here's how it's going to end. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 24, then comes the end. Well, this is some need-to-know information. Let's read this again together. And encourage one another to consider this and to take it to heart. And not just to know it as Belshazzar knew some stuff, not just to be sort of dismissive of it, but to be changed by it from the inside out. There is an end coming, and here's what's going to happen. Jesus is going to deliver the kingdom to God the Father. So we need to know what the kingdom is. We need to come to terms with what that is, and we need to ask ourselves, are we citizens of it? And when Jesus delivers it to the Father, will we be delivered to Him? Then comes the end, when He delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when He puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. You see, the thing is, God has been sovereign over everything since the jump. But not everybody recognizes His sovereignty. But it doesn't change the fact that He rules over everything. It doesn't change the fact that He's the source and the means, and it doesn't change the fact that He is the heir of all things too. And so, He must reign till He has put all enemies under His feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. We lost some folks this year. First holiday season for some of you without people you love. People I love. People we all love together. There's nothing pretty about death. It is ugly, and by definition, it is separation. That's what it means. And so some of us this year are separated from people that we have loved for a long time, for the first time. There's nothing easy about that. It is hard. I love our people so much for so many different ways. But one of the things that I love so much about our people is how much everybody that serves, whether it's publicly or privately, how much thought and care and preparation is put into that? Especially want to, again, just thank all the men who taught these classes throughout the year. It is a lot of work just to read the week's readings. I know that. Greg and Tony know that. We all know that. That's a lot of reading. So, as difficult as that is, imagine being the one who is leading the discussion of the classes. That's a lot of work. And so, when I'm reading God's Word, and Greg and Tony are reading God's Word as the shepherds, and we're attempting to be the pastor teachers of Ephesians 4 to the glory of God, to the glory of the chief shepherd, and a brother makes a point that needs to be made, it encourages me so much. And so last week in class that I wasn't here for, because we were out of town visiting family, when the point is made in class about the Word of God, that the Word of God is rooted in reality, that the Word of God communicates the truth to us. That's what truth is. It's rooted in reality. And so the Word of God doesn't soft soap life under the sun. Life under the sun is hard, and it is full of all sorts of separation. But the last enemy, the final separation, is death. And here's what Jesus is going to do. He's going to destroy it. And when he destroys it, and it's no more, then he's going to put all things under his feet. And when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted. Now, when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him. And here's the phrase that I want to encourage you to attach to this third preposition: for, unto, to, heir. The goal of all things is that God may be all in all. That God may be all in all. And so as we turn our attention to the book of Revelation for the remainder of the year, and we read through the revelation of Jesus Christ, what we come to find out about heaven is that what makes heaven heaven is the reality that God is there. Jesus is the firstborn among many brethren. What's the implication? That there would be more to follow. And in Romans, the 8th chapter, and in verses 17 and 18, we read something about the end of all things that is, it's hard to believe. It almost sounds too good to be true. And I believe if we're going to read these two verses and we're going to believe them, that it's going to take a lot of faith. We need to pray that Jesus would increase our faith. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. But not just heirs. Joint heirs with Christ. I mean, just pause and let that wash over you for a second. In the present tense, we have all the spiritual blessings that are available to us in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 1:3. We've been born again of the water and the Spirit. We're present tense in the heavenlies with Him. But there's going to be an end to all things. And that end of all things is described in the book of Revelation. And in chapter 21 and verse 3, John hears a loud voice from heaven, and this is what it says. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and will be their God. Does that appeal to you? Well, if it doesn't appeal to you, then that's the point of reading the Word of God. Because I know God, I want to be where He is. I want to be where my Father is. Because my Father loves me. And my Father doesn't just love me because I'm His biological child. The reality of my relationship with my Father in heaven is He has adopted me into His family. And when He adopted me into His family, He didn't just make me an heir with my elder brother, who is His only begotten son. He made me a joint heir with Him. The love that our God and Father has for us is incomprehensible. And so I long to be where He is. I long to be where Jesus is because He demonstrated His love for me. Jesus' death on the cross was because of me, but it was for me. It was because of my sin, but it was an act of love on His behalf so that He could deliver me from my sin, so that He might draw me to Himself, so that I might be His brother and be a joint heir of the good things to come. The Holy Spirit. We all have more questions about the Holy Spirit than we would like to have about Him. We can only know what has been revealed about Him. I don't know what He looks like. I don't know what His voice sounds like. I don't know what form He will take in eternity, but I know this. If it weren't for Him, we wouldn't know any of it. He loves me. And while there are some things in His Word that are hard to understand, He has given me and you and all who are willing all that pertains to life and godliness, so that when we can read, we can understand who God is, who we are in relationship to Him, and what His will for our lives on earth is, so that we might live in such a way that we might be joint heirs with Him. And so this is how all of God's faithful people, going back to the book of Genesis, through the book of Revelation, this is how they have all lived. And as the book of Romans is calling us to faith, as the book of Romans is calling us to conviction and trust and surrender, our father Abraham is held up in Romans, the 4th chapter, and in verse 20, as we consider Abraham and everything that he experienced in his relationship with God while he was on the earth, God calling him to leave his home and to go to a place that he'd never been before, and God telling him he was going to make a great nation out of him, and he was going to give him land to live with his family. He was going to have a place to live, and then he was going to use his family to bless all the other families of the earth. This relationship that Abraham and the true and living God had, it was fluid, right? And so what's Abraham doing all along the way? He's growing in the grace of God. He's growing in the knowledge of God, and all along the way, he is being tempted not to be convicted in his mind. He's being tempted not to trust from the depth of his heart. He's being tempted not to obey. And in Romans 4, verse 20, what we see about Abraham is that he understood Romans 11, verse 36 perfectly as it pertained to him with the light that had been given to him in the days of the patriarchs. Abraham was not moved by the lies of the enemy, but rather Abraham was strengthened in faith and he gave glory to God. That is the call for you and me in 2025 and as the Lord wills into 2026. That we would be strengthened, that we would be empowered, that we would grow in our own individual personal faith, and that as we come to know the true and living God, that we would give Him glory. Faith is the victory, and the victory that we will find through Jesus as it has been revealed by the Holy Spirit to the glory of our God and Father, the victory that will be ours is one that we can strengthen our faith in. And as we grow in His grace and in His knowledge, all along the way, give glory and honor and praise to Him. 754. Sing to me of heaven. One of the most difficult things about preaching and teaching is just the reality, as we have demonstrated Lord's Day after Lord's Day after Lord's Day in 2025. You just can't preach every verse simultaneously. You can't talk about every topic that matters at the same time. And so whatever we're talking about, there's something else that we're not talking about. That's just the reality of it. And so I have great affection for the preachers that meant a lot to me and influenced me along the way. And along the way, I've heard different preachers that I love and respect make the observation that maybe we don't talk about heaven as much as we should. So I want to encourage you to think about this as we sing about heaven together. As we conclude our Abide in My Word theme for 2025, and we look forward, as the Lord wills, to 2026. Heaven is the place where God is. And so think about it this way. When we talk about God, when we think about God, we are talking about heaven. What makes heaven heaven? Revelation 22:4 is being able to see the face of God. And so I don't know how to better illustrate it than to say that in the summer of 1997, when we found out that we were going to have a baby, all I could think about until January the 17th, it was summer of 98, because Sarah was born in 99, so that would have been a longer pregnancy. Not that long. Summer of 98, find out that we're going to have a baby. All I could think about until January of 99 is I can't wait to see her face. Feel that way about God? I tell you, Sarah is special and we sure love her, and she's ours, so we think her face is beautiful. But there is nothing that compares to the glory of God. Nothing. So let's encourage each other to grow in His grace and knowledge, to recognize that heaven is where God is, and that's where we want to be. We want to be there now spiritually, but we want to be there for real when all that we know comes to an end and the new heavens and the new earth bless us with an eternal dwelling place where God will be our Father and we'll be His children forever and ever and ever. Amen. 754, let's stand and sing.